Let's just go to the Lord in a word of prayer. I just ask that all cell phones just be turned off, please, just for a while. I don't preach that long. But just bow your heads and just tell Jesus this evening how much we love him and respect all that he's done for us. So, Father, we bless you. We praise you. We thank you, Lord, for your mercy, for your goodness, for your love. We thank you, Father, for your protection. God knows there's probably been so many assignments against us every day to take us from this earth, Lord, but your angels have surrounded us. Thank you for your mercy, Lord, for your love. Thank you for my life, for my wife, for my children, Father. I thank you for my word. I thank you for your Holy Spirit. I'm just so grateful to you this evening, Lord, that I have life in you. And society thinks that Christian people live a boring life, Father. Oh, our lives are far from boring, Father, because our lives are full of you. I thank you, Father, for sanctification. I thank you for all that you've done. I thank you for my friends who are here today, Lord, those hungry young people. You judge no one, Jesus. You judge no one right now. You're just here, happy that they're here in your midst to hear your word, Father. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you do the convicting, that you do the changing, Father. You do the transformation. Your wisdom and your grace, Father, from my spirit to them. As you teach me, Lord, so I teach them also, Father. I thank you that their heart is for you and that they hunger and thirst after what's right in life, Father, because tomorrow is never, ever. Because tomorrow never, ever is guaranteed, Lord Jesus. So I pray today that everyone who's here tonight just hear your word. The convicting power of God will just consume them, Lord, and they heed to your love and change their lives, Father, because again, I reiterate, tomorrow is never guaranteed. And we can't leave this earth, Jesus, without having you in our heart. I pray for anybody that would leave this earth, Father, not having you in their heart, Father, because we know where the final resting place dwells is, Father. That's separated from you. So I just pray your love, your conviction, Father, everyone here today. In Jesus' name. Everyone said amen. Hallelujah. We're going to go to worship in a little bit. It's more of the last, I guess maybe the last 36 hours. What's the purpose of church? What's the purpose of this youth group? Is really, we're just here to celebrate Jesus, to learn more about him. I'm here not to judge anybody, but to help you overcome your greatest obstacle in life, which is yourself. I know Satan gets too much blame for what happens in our life. Actually, we're responsible so much for the bad in our life. You know, Satan just gets too much glory. He gets too much attention and notice for, even from the church, even from preachers. Satan gets the blame for everything. Now, he's behind everything, but a lot of stuff that we do is based on our decisions in life. It's never anybody else's fault. Never, ever anybody else's fault in life. Now, granted, people will treat us in an unjust manner. That's true. But there's things that happen in our life because we make wrong decisions. And while there's forgiveness, there's also recompense. There's also, that's what happens sometimes when, in general, when we do things that we shouldn't do. And one thing I've been saying for the last 36 hours in my quiet times with God, I've been saying this has been going in my heart over and over again, because our obedience starts inside of us. So that a Christian is, we're not perfect individuals, but we're blessed because our kingdom, our instruction comes from within us. And I've been saying things the last 36 hours. I just sit down in my room where it's real quiet. And I don't know how many times I say it. I'm talking to myself because, again, my worst problem in my life, it isn't you. Even if you steal from me or you rape one of my children or you molest my son, which I'm just going worst case scenario. Even if that does happen, in Christ, I'm still called to forgive you. It might seem harsh. You might seem to think, it's Somebody does that to my sister, I'm going to kill him. Well, that's what our flesh wants us to do. But we don't live according to the flesh. We live according to our born-again spirit, where the Spirit of God lives. And I've been saying this for the last 36 hours over and over again. I say, Lord, I thank you that I live my life out of what you want me to do from inside, not according to my flesh. And I'd say it over and over again. Last night I said it for hours. I said, Lord, I thank you that I live according to how you want me to live from within. Because everybody that's a Christian in here, you know what to do right and wrong. And it comes from within. That little ugly feeling that you have after you said something you weren't supposed to have, say, that's him convicting you. You know what to say and what not to say if you're a Christian, because God dwells in you. So I say to myself, I said the name of Jesus for hours last night. My wife slept with my daughter, and I just said the name of Jesus, Jeannie. All night long, I just said Jesus. I just kept saying the name of Jesus, and I just kept saying, God, I operate how you would have me to live my life from within. I don't operate according to my flesh. See, our flesh is a part of us that gets us in trouble. Our flesh is a part of us that wants to sin against God. So I just yelled out the name. I didn't yell, just underneath my... Just right there in bed, I just kept saying the name of Jesus. I kept saying the name of Jesus over and over again. Over and over again. I'll keep saying, Father, I thank you that I live according to how you would have me to live. Every day we're faced with choices. Every day we're faced with choices, whether good ones or bad ones to make. But God in us always has an instruction for us. I tell my kids... Sometimes my kids think that I'm mean with them. I don't. I just, when my kids go out, I know they're on the road. I'm up praying for them until they get home. One day you guys will be old and you'll have children. You'll be married and you'll know what I'm... I don't do it to be mean. When I say 1 o'clock, I mean 1 o'clock with all my kids. And sometimes they stay out later. They just got to call me. It's not that I want to be mean. It's just there's nothing good after 12 o'clock at night, really. There's nothing good out there. So I don't go to bed till all my kids get home. If Julie's out, Quentin's out, Elijah's out, I'm going to read my Bible praying for my children. Because Satan would like nothing more than to take the lives of my kids. I can stop that in the spirit. Because it is a war, my friends. Deidre's like, oh, when he's out, I'm praying for him. Checking him. Where you at? Well, I'm here, Dad. You don't call me 5 minutes ago. I know, but where you at now? That's just... what a parent does. But our lifestyle, how we live, is all about obeying what's right inside of me and you. That is Christianity, my friends. And I've been on this for a while. If we could ever, you need to confess this yourself too. Say things, say this, God, I thank you that. And I say my name. I add a little bit more to it. I say this. I say, God, I thank you that I, Homero Betancourt Jr., your son and a joint heir with Jesus, I live according to how you would have me live from within, Lord. I don't live according to the flesh. I say it over and over and over again. Why? Convincing myself that everything that I do, everything that I say has to be the instruction of God that's inside of me. See, when we're born again, God comes and lives inside of me and you to lead us, to be the compass in our life, to show us which way to turn, to show us whether to turn left or right. My friends, you are his sons. He is your father. Our lifestyle, our obedience is interior, is inside. If you can ever grasp that and just be so patient. Am I always? No, but I'm learning just like you. Jesus is not an experiment. Jesus is a lifestyle. Serving Jesus isn't the person who comes to church. Well, that's a fruit of our love for him. But serving Jesus is a person that walks with righteousness every single day of his life. I had a talk with my wife last night about, you know, everybody, they always give me and my wife comments that I want my marriage to be like y'all's. Yeah, we have a good marriage. But we have the issues in our life. And last night, yesterday, I just felt God just show me so clearly to take your wife, just you and her. You take, go to this mall where you can walk around outside and walk up and down the mall. Just hold her hand for hours. Date like you did when you were in high school. See, it's the little things in our life that God wants to show me in you. Did you do it? No, I didn't do it. God cares about our daily walk with Him. He gives us daily instruction on how to live. If you're born again, then you know how to live. That is true Christianity. When we live according to what's right. I'm not here to beat you across the head, man. It's my position and my disposition to help you in your walk with God. How I learn, I want you to learn. But all of our instruction comes from within. You know you shouldn't have said that thing that you said. How do you know that? I know because you felt ugly after you said it. Am I right or wrong? You felt ugly. You couldn't wait to pick up the phone and apologize to that person. Why? Because you kicked God's instruction to the curb. I learn. I'm learning just like you did. You probably know me better than anybody. Somebody will call me and I'm tired and he'll say, watch, Homer's going to pick up the phone in 5 minutes. And he's going to feel bad because he didn't answer the phone. Sure enough, I pick up the phone. How we worship Jesus on Sunday morning is good, but that doesn't determine how good, how close a person is to Jesus Christ. What determines how close we are to Jesus on how we treat each other and how we live life when nobody's around. Would Jesus approve of our lifestyle behind closed doors when nobody's around? Do we hold things in secret? Say this to yourself as you live your life. Lord, I live my life according to how you would have me to live from within. Say it to yourself over and over again. God, I live my life according to the way that you would have me to live from within. Lord, I live my life. I, Renee St. Preux, I live my life according to the way you would have me live from within. I, Alex Pierre Genty, live my life according to how you would have me to live from within. I, Quentin LaShawn Fuller, I, Deidrin Big Sexy Sennett, live my life according to how you would have me to live, Jesus, from within. That, my friends, is righteousness. I love what Pastor said this morning, that we see people that talk religion and talk Bible scriptures and they sound so impressive. That, my friends, means nothing to Jesus. It means nothing to Jesus, that one that articulates well and every you ask him a question, he answers it with a Bible verse. I'm not saying that's bad. Usually those are the worst ones. But he wants me and you to live our life wholly before him. He said, you are the salt of this earth. He said, you are that city. You are a city that is set on a hill. You are that candle. That isn't put under a basket, but it's put on a lampstand. What's a candle do when it's dark? It what? It shines. He said, you are that candle that's to shine. How do I shine, Jesus? By living a holy, undefiled life before God. I'm not here to judge you, my friend. I'm here to help you. Why? Because Jesus helps me. And he's there. Every single day, through every trial, through every tribulation, through every question, through every action, through every temptation, he is there in your heart dispatching information to you. No, Deidre, don't turn here. No, Miss Rosie, don't say that. Our victory is within us. Our wisdom is within. I said to myself, Deidre, I don't know how many times last night, God, I thank you that my lifestyle is according to what's within me. I operate according to your instruction within me. I try my best to take a deep breath during every situation. I always don't. Because, see, we can't live according to what's right if we're quick-tempered. Because if you're quick-tempered, you're going to say what you shouldn't say. That's why I try to incorporate in my life that three-second rule. You say something to offend me, I need to take 3 seconds to think and hear the wisdom of God so I don't respond back to you in a negative manner. Do you always do it? Nope. But that's what I strive for. Because make no mistake, the person, listen to this now, this is how you got to get personal with this, the person asking you not to say it is God Almighty. So he said, I love God with all my heart. Do you? Well, God just spoke to you and said not to do it. If I say I love my wife with all my heart, yes, I have an adulterous affair. Is that really love or is it lust? If I truly love my wife like God would have me love her, I would honor her and sleep only with her. Nowadays, that's a big thing. It's unheard of nowadays in the church. I'm not doing her a favor. I'm doing what I'm supposed to do as a husband. It's our same thing with Jesus Christ. Loving Jesus is not lifting up my hands and crying and weeping. No, there's nothing wrong with that. Loving Jesus is obeying Jesus. Homer, I haven't seen Jesus. If you're born again, you've seen Jesus. And if you've seen Jesus, He lives inside of you. And He gives you that daily instruction on how to live your life. It isn't an audible voice. Sometimes it is, but it's something that goes, you can do it, or don't do it. That is what the church misses out on. We live our life according to the instruction of God within ourselves. That's why Christian people are so unhappy sometimes, because you can't consistently disobey God and find Him interesting. If you consistently disobey God, you're going to find church, especially this one, you're going to find it very, very boring. You find Jesus interesting when you obey Jesus. David is my youngest one. I got 6 kids. I got a 26-year-old, a 19-year-old, 17-year-old, a 16-year-old, a 12-year-old, and then David. Everybody knows David. Whew, boy. When he was a baby, Deidre, when he fell, learned how to walk at the age of 8, and it took him longer because his legs were like, looked like a dang bulldog, all bow-legged. We thought he was going to need braces real bad because he was like he rode a horse ever since he come out of his mother's womb. He was like this, bow-legged. At the age of 8 or 9 months, when he learned how to walk, my little boy, my blood, my DNA, the little boy that me and my wife created, he tried to walk with him. See, we don't know who God is. Pastors preach God in the wrong context. I heard a lady say on the south side of town one time, God loves you, but He'll kill you. I wanted to hit her with a BB gun. I ain't lying. 8 or 9 months, David would try to walk. Boom. He'd fall. I didn't get the belt when he was 8 or 9 months old, and I beat him with the belt because he fell. It's my flesh and blood. I'd go and I'd pick him up. Do it again, son. And he'd walk again, Jeannie. He'd try to walk again. And he would fall again. I'd pick him up. When he got to the age of 1, he'd walk a little bit better. But he would still fall. You know? Fall down, he'd hurt his elbow, get a little scratch on his elbow. And I'd kiss his elbow. Why? Because he's my son. He's my created being. He reached the age of 2, he wouldn't fall as much. When he did fall, Daddy was right there again to help him up. And you might say, well, the older David gets, the more accountable he is. Yes, that's true. That's true. At 4, 5, and 6, he shouldn't be falling anymore. But in case he does fall at the age of five, guess who's going to be there to help him up? His dad. As one of my children got in trouble the other day, I looked at him eyeball to eyeball. My flesh wanted to go off. But my confession is, Miss Melody, God, I live my life according to what you instruct me how to live it from inside. I looked at that person. I'm your father. Let's start over again. What if that person fails again tomorrow? I am not going to be his father tomorrow. I'm going to be his father again tomorrow. What if your daughter gets pregnant out of wedlock? I'll be mad. But we live our life according to God's instruction from within. She'll know I'll be disappointed. But God in me would have me be a good grandfather. My instruction, my counsel to my children will never cease. When they do wrong, I do get mad. But I try to take that 3 minute. Okay, Lord. I'll never stop being their father. I don't care. We got to do the same thing again 20 times. If I think like that, how do you feel that Jesus Christ feels about me and you? He'll never stop giving you instruction on how to live. He'll never stop in his love advising you on which way to turn. It's up to me and you to love him enough to live according to what's right. And what's right is living according to his instruction. That is true Christianity, my friends. Christianity is not an experiment. Christianity is not an emotion. Christianity is when me and you love Jesus Christ, so everything in us tries to do what he would have us to do. You know, God has the perfect boyfriend and girlfriend for you, one that he's designed to give you, but we settle for less. God has that perfect mate, that perfect husband or perfect wife, for he'll go that deep into your life and tell you if that's the one. He's your father. Why wouldn't he advise you, my friends? Why wouldn't he know what's best for you? Say this to yourself every day. God, I live my life in you according to what's right inside of me. I don't, Lord, live my life according to my own understanding of the flesh. Sometimes obeying God is hard. But still, Daddy knows best. That is serving Jesus Christ, my friends. Not a display of emotionalism. Serving Jesus Christ is me and you obeying what is right in his eyes. The biggest enemy in our life is ourselves. We defeat ourselves many times in our life. So I respect these two young men here. They could be in college anywhere. But they chose to stay here. It'll be long before Alex takes this ministry over. Because I want to do what we do now, but with the men of the church, with the couples of the church. God has led me in that direction. Because we don't do nothing as adults together in the church. It's funny how Melody said they were going to go bowling on the 11th. That's the kind of stuff I'm looking for men and women, the church, the older ones, to come together as families. We don't do that much, and God is leading me in that direction. I'll always be part of this church. We got somebody that's maturing in God now to take this position. But our life in God, my friends, our life in God is living according to what's right inside of our heart. It's nothing more than doing what's right. Pastor, are you talking about perfection? No, I'm not talking about perfection, because if I miss it, you know what? If I sin against Deidre, if I sin against him, now I'm far from perfect, but if I sin against Deidre or sin against Eddie, you know what the next best step is? What do you think it is? If I say something to Deidre I'm not supposed to say, you know what the next best step is? What is it? Somebody. Deidre, I'm sorry I did wrong. That in itself is righteousness. We are our biggest problem. Not the devil. We are our biggest problem as believers in Jesus Christ. Because if you are indeed a believer, you know what's right and what's wrong. And if you habitually do what's wrong, either you're not born again or you're on your way out. Say this to yourself every night. Even if you decide to go back into sin tonight, say, Father, I thank you that I live my life according to how you had me to live it, not according to the flesh. You know who you're convincing when you say that over and over again? Do you know who you're convincing? Do you think you're convincing God? Do you think you're convincing God when you say that over and over again? Who are you convincing? You're convincing. I've been preaching for 12 years. I'm still trying to convince myself that that's how I live my life. Over and over again, Miss Melody, God, I thank you that I live my life according to what's within me. I live my life according to your instruction, not according to the flesh. When I say flesh, I mean the part of me that wants to rebel against God. No matter how strong that temptation seemed, if you're born again, no matter how overwhelming that thought was, no matter how overwhelming that lust was, no matter how overwhelming that desire was, if you are a Christian and Jesus Christ indeed lives inside of you, you still had the power to tell that thing no. Pastor Omar, I felt the pressure so bad. Yes, you did. I feel the pressure so bad sometimes too. But deep inside of me is the voice of God opposing that very thing that I want to do. Which one am I going to go with? God or the feeling? Most Christians go by the feeling because the feeling seems to overwhelm them. That's why there's failure in the body of Christ. Because we go by what we feel instead of what we know and hold to be true. That's why a man will cheat on his wife. Because he feels this feeling of pressure. She looks so attractive, but deep inside of his heart is God crying out, saying, no, son. What are you going to believe? The pressure, the temptation, the desire, or God within you? That, my friends, is loving God. The pressure was so much, I couldn't handle it. No. This is how you should say. This is what you should say when you fall to sin. God, I knew it was wrong, but I did it because I wanted to. If Satan had so much power over me and you, we would all be dead. Guess what? We're here and we're alive, so his power is limited. We live our life according to the instruction of God from within. I had my kids reading Proverbs about who was the lady we were talking about. What was her name? In Proverbs, the immoral what? The immoral woman. The immoral woman is not a physical woman. The immoral woman is our flesh. Couldn't call me up one day. He said, Dad, the immoral woman got me again. Hey, I can appreciate honesty. I can appreciate it. The Bible says that the immoral woman is seductive. He says her words are sweeter than honey. Which is talking about the flesh. Sometimes the things that we desire, doesn't it make so much sense? Ooh. Oh, you know what I'm talking about? Oh. Lady got a body like a Coke bottle. And it may be so. But inside of your heart is the knowledge and the wisdom of Almighty God that steps up within you, that rises up within you, and tells you to turn the other cheek. So what's love? When you see Miss Coke bottle body walking by, and you know she's coming, and you turn the other way, that, my friends, is love, because you obeyed the instruction of God to turn your face. That is love. If Miss Coke bottle body walks right by you, and you walk by her too, until you can't see her no more a mile down the road, dang! Two things rose up within you. Your flesh, your desire to lust, or Jesus in you. He didn't speak to you specifically with an audible voice, but you knew in your heart not to look. Ladies, you too. Don't just be blaming the guys all the time. Now, y'all know y'all be looking at them guys in cute little behinds. With the little big arms and the big chesses. They're real quiet now. Look at them. They're real quiet. No, we don't. Yes, you do. What melody? What'd you say that day with the what kind of bodies? Or what'd you say that? You said something one day. The six pack. Yeah, I got a keg. I ain't got a six pack. There's a keg. The point I'm making is this. Is if you're a Christian, you know what's right and what's wrong, because what's right and what's wrong lives within you. It doesn't go anywhere. It lives within you. That is Christianity. That is serving God. When we know to do right, and we do right. When we know to do wrong, and we do right, that is loving God. Because God's the one within you that told you not to live that way. And if you obey the voice that said don't live that way, then you love the one that whispered that instruction to you. And the one that whispers that instruction to you is none other than the Spirit of the living God. That is loving God, my friends. That is loving God. Now, I really believe in my heart that God's going to raise up. No, let me rephrase that. That's the most, that statement is so full of heresy. God raises up nobody. We raise ourselves up in Him. Well, if God raises up people, then He's a respecter of person. But I'm believing, you might not see it now, but I'm believing that some of you in here tonight are going to be so hungry for God that we're going to turn this town upside down. Some of you might not look like you're hungry for God, but there's something burning inside of you. Even in the position that you're in right now, some of you inside of you are going to be so hungry for God, He's going to use you in a mighty way. I could get emotional and serve pizza every single week and this youth group could grow. But the kids, the young people that need to be here, are here to make a difference for God. Young people that live their life according to truth. That want to do right when nobody's around to look. That is loving God. Some of you are natural born leaders in God. But you can't see it right now. But He's calling me and you first and foremost. First and foremost. To live a life habitually in Him. What do you mean by that? I'm almost done. In every situation, in every trial, in every temptation, 10, 15, 20, 25 times a day, He's going to speak to you on how to answer that statement. Every time there's a question to be asked, He'll give you the wisdom on how to answer it. We just got to be patient, quiet, and obeying what's true. Loving God is nothing more. You got to get this. I've been saying this for the last 6 months. Loving God is nothing more than me and you living our life out of that born again spirit, obeying the instruction of Jesus Christ. Oh God, if you love me, why did you let this happen to me? No. God had instruction for you before that happened. It's not His fault that we chose that path. Whatsoever a man sows, that he reaps. God, why me, God? Why do you think I would let one of my sons run out in front of a car or a semi coming 55 miles an hour? I would yell, Quentin, David, Elijah, watch out. What kind of father would I be if my 7-year-old went out in front of 82 and I saw a semi coming and didn't yell out, son, move? What kind of father would I be knowing that my son faced death, yet I chose not to cry out, son, be careful? What kind of father would I be? My friends, not a very good one. What kind of father would God be if He didn't have instruction for me and you during that trial or tribulation? What kind of father would He be if He didn't utter out His voice and His wisdom of which way for me to turn in that situation? It's not His fault we didn't listen. He is our Father. He said, I will not leave you as an orphan. I will come to you. I will be inside of you. God lives within me and you. He's our Father, giving us that instruction every single day on how to live, on what to say, on what not to say, on which way to turn and which way to go. We just got to listen. Why me, God? Why me? Courtney, I spoke to you, Courtney. You just didn't listen. My heart's broken like yours, Courtney. I told you, my daughter. Told you. You just didn't listen. God's been telling me for 2 years, the Holy Spirit. Now it's all done in Him first and foremost. To take care of my body a little bit better than what I had, still nothing close to what I should. And I say this just to teach something before we go home. I'm almost completely blind out of my right eye. I almost can barely see nothing. Satan's trying his very best to take my eyesight from me. I stumble a lot when I walk. But God, every single day of my life, He instructs me on how to live my life, to deal with the issues in my life. But I choose myself to not listen to Him. Why does He give me that instruction? Because He's my Father and He loves me. So if I go legally blind, Deidre, and I'm not, I can assure you that. But if I do, I can't look up to heaven and say, God, why me? See, He's my Father. He instructs me daily. He cares about every part of my life. He cares about how I answer my wife, how I treat my kids. He cares about how I treat the people that I work with. He wants to be part of every part of my life. Every decision He wants me to make based on His voice. Say this to yourself tonight when you go to bed. Say, Lord, I live my life according to your instruction within my spirit. Before we go home tonight, know this. The next time you answer somebody when they're mad at you, take the 3-second rule. Hear it, take the abuse, and 3-second breath and wait on how to answer that person. That, my friends, is true Christianity. That, my friends, is loving God. When we live according to His instruction. And these last 2 minutes before we worship a little bit, this is where you got to know that that instruction is intimate instruction. See, I don't feel sorry for people that make the same mistake over and over again. I'm not going to feel sorry for them. I just don't. Now I have compassion on them and counsel them, but you reap what you sow, man. You reap what you sow. This is where you got to understand where we're coming from, or where God is coming from. When you know to do right, listen to this now. You got to close your eyes with me. Close your eyes. When you know to do right, the very person that's telling you to do right, listen to this now. I want you to think about it. It's none of my business. I want you to think about that very thing that you do more than anything that you know you shouldn't do. It's your business, not mine. Whether it's a smart aleck remark, whether it's drugs, whether it's alcohol, whatever it may be, I want you to think of that thing that you do that you know you shouldn't do. Think about it for about a minute. Just think about it. And it's not my business, my friend. I'm not your judge. Think about that thing that has you wound up, bound up, that you don't think you can overcome, that you find yourself doing it all the time and you hate it and it bothers you, but you know you do it anyway. Think about it now. Think about it. Can you look up at me? Now, the very thing that we do, that it seems to be so hard to overcome. Think about this now. We're done. That very thing that we do that seems to be repetition in our life, that we just can't seem to shake it. The very thing that we do that we're told not to do. Listen to this now. Close your eyes again. The very thing that we do more than anything on the face of this earth that is sin, a particular sin, the very thing that we do that we know we shouldn't do, and we feel the instruction within us not to do it. Now look at me again now. The person that's telling you not to do it, listen to this now, is God Almighty, the creator of the heavens and the earth. His name is Jesus Christ. The one that's saying, Alex, Homer, Melody, Olivia, Quit, Miss Rosie. Royalty, a king, the creator of the heavens and the earth, is instructing me and you. He's saying, Alex, Jesus in his royalty, his splendor and his beauty. When Alex does what Jesus says not to do, that is a measuring stick. This is going to hurt on how much he loves Jesus. Because Jesus is the one saying, no. Homer. No. It's Jesus whispering to me out of my spirit, telling me that that thing is improper. It's nobody else. Jesus. Hopefully next time that thing reoccurs in your life, you'll know that the person telling you not to do it is royalty. That person is God Almighty telling his son or his daughter how to live their lives. Say to yourself tonight, God, I thank you that I live my life according to your instruction from within. You're not convincing the devil. You're not convincing Jesus. You're convincing yourself that your lifestyle, that your obedience is from within. If you don't know how to pray, if you don't know how to worship tonight, just say the name of Jesus over and over again. Just say, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Pray in tongues. Say Jesus. Pray in tongues. Say Jesus. Say to yourself, I, Alex Genty Pierre, am a son of God, and I live my life according to the instruction within my heart. That is loving God, my friends. This is the amazing thing about God. He knows that we have issues. And I feel like I'm under the anointing right now, like God's speaking through me to you. Listen to this now. And we're done. We're going to worship. I just ask you to recollect in your mind and to think of the things that you do that you know aren't proper, the thing you can't seem to shake. And I thought of the same thing within me. Let me ask you this. When you went back into the pages of your mind, and maybe you didn't even have to flip the page, maybe it was there already, and you knew the very thing that you do, that you shouldn't do, that you do all the time, during that 2 or 3 minute silent time, when you went back into your mind to think of that thing that you do, that you shouldn't do, that you do all the time, let me ask you a question. Did God come down from heaven with an iron rod and knock you across the head for your sin? Did he? Or is he giving me instruction to help you, to help me overcome that sin? That's how he rolls, my friends. He's crying out to you now as your father, saying, love me more than this. What is this? This is the very thing that you do repetitively, that you do all the time, that seems to have you bound up. The next time that temptation comes rising up within you, this is what I want you to say. God, I love you more than this. I believe in honesty. I got a quick temper. My kids can tell you. Some people drink. Some people do this and that. My biggest thing is I got a quick temper. So what do I do? The quick temper is the this in my life. When a situation arises where my temper wants to flare up, I got to say, God, I love you more than this. I love you more than this. And if by chance my temper goes off tonight, Deidre, and at my wife or Julie, all I know what to do is say, Julie, it's me again, your dad. Forgive me. And I'll go to my room, Deidre, and I'll walk in my room, and I'll say out over and over again, God, I got to love you more than this. I got to love you more than this. Think about that for the next time that thing rises up within you that you know is sin that you can't seem to kick to the curb. Talk yourself out of it, man. God, I love you more than this. I love you more than this. And only you know what that this is in your life. Talk to yourself, man. Because we are our worst enemy. The desires from within us, not Satan, that's our worst enemy. God, I love you more than this. God, I thank you that I'm your son and that I live according to what's right. And what's right is his instruction within my heart that leads me and guides me every single step of every day. That, my friends, is true Christianity. True Christianity is even when you slip up, that you're honest with God and you're forgiven. That's true Christianity. Don't hide your faults to God. Acknowledge your faults. And God, I'm struggling in this area, Father. I'm struggling in this area, Jesus. I know I shouldn't walk in this, Lord. Cleanse me with your blood. Remember my sin no more. And then you get, and you say things, God, I love you more than this. You say, God, I am a man that lives according to what's right within my heart. I do not live according to the flesh. Say that over and over and over and over again. Convincing yourself, speaking to your soul. I think there's a psalm that talks about that. Talk to yourself. You can do it. I can do it. You can do it. That is the mind of God for you today, my friends. He knows we all got issues. He's not looking for me to go down the road and to kill me in a car accident because of my issue. That's not the way God operates, man. He loves you and wants to see you out of your mess. He is your father. He knows the heartbreak in our life. He knows about the broken homes in our life. He knows about the hurts and betrayals. But my God, he doesn't want to put a band-aid on your hurt. He wants to completely heal you of that junk, man. You just got to let him. We all got a story to tell. He is God Almighty, your father. You got to love him more than this. What this? The this in your life that seems to have you so bound up where all you do is give in to it. God, I love you more than this. If your problem is lust and you see a beautiful woman walking down the road, you look and you turn your God, I love you more than this. God, I love you more than this. God, I love you more than this. And if you turn around and look again, you turn back around. God, I love you more than this. I love you. You say it and say it till you convince yourself that you love Him more than that. That is the mind of Christ for you, my friend. We're not talking about perfection. We're talking about obedience. That is serving God, my friends. In truth and in love. So what do you do if you fail, Pastor Homer? I lift up my hands to heaven. And I say, Jesus, Son of the living God, forgive me of my sin. I'm here to help you, not to judge you. I'm here to help you grow in Him and not to judge you. Amen. Let's worship the Lord before we go home a little bit now.